This is Vision View Sports Radio.
We chat all things basketball and time to get into the continent because it is undoubtedly one or undoubtedly or whichever English word you want to use to describe what we are seeing happen go down in Kigali, Rwanda is one of the most exciting AfroBaskets ever for a variety of reasons, and we can get into that a little bit. To help me unpack this, I'm sure you guys, if you've been keeping eyes on social media, you've seen that FullCourtPress.co.za has gone live, and we have a writer, and I like to call him the Bull, because he grabs the bull by the horns, and it also rhymes with his surname, and Leonard Mbule Nzieke. Is that right? Did I get it right? Please tell me I did.
You got it.
He is on the line, and we are going to chat AfroBasket, and after last night, one of the surprises of the tournament is the fact that Angola will probably not be advancing. They all but blew their chances and lost out in the this is unfamiliar territory for Angolan fans and the continent itself. We're usually Angola advancing to at least the knockout stages of the tournament. But Rwanda picking up a very big win for them, and as hosts, they remain undefeated in Group A. Tunisia top Group B, Ivory Coast top Group C, and probably the tournament favorite Senegal top Group D. Why do you think the tournament has unfolded like it has, Leonard? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Q, and happy birthday to you once more.
Oh, thanks, thanks, man. We always celebrate trips around the sun.
So, yeah, for me, the first thing which I look at is that the best teams are the ones who brought their best players. And you look at Senegal. Senegal has more or less everybody available to them who would be eligible to be on the team. I mean, besides Taco Fall and Jordan Nyanko in the NBA, they're led by Gorgui Dieng. And they have an upstart young guard in Branko Bandio, who they like to call Papi, who's playing for, you know, Spanish Giants Barcelona. And you can tell that Senegal is in it to win it. Their coach, Boniface Ndong, you played against him back in the day, and you know he's a consummate professional. The Senegalese are really bringing it to the table. Tunisia as well, their band of brothers, Salem Badri, Ben Ramdan, Omar Abada, they are well battle-tested soldiers. And, you know, from the first game, they brought it on, and they had a bit of difficulty against Egypt, but then they showed their experience and they showed their resolve. And, you know, I think those are the teams to really look at going forward. And, like I said, the best team so far have been the ones who were able to bring in their best players to the tournament and have good preparation.
I have a caveat because that might not apply to Nigeria. Nigeria looked good in their first game. They probably have the strongest depth in terms of shooting at the guard position. If you look at how they played in that in their opening win, they might struggle a little bit in terms of consistency. You know, they lost two quarters in the opener against Mali. They lost the second and the fourth quarter by 10 points or a little bit more. The varying nature of the swing of their game is going to be an issue. But they also have some nice guards who can knock down 3-pointers consistently, and it can come from a variety of areas.
I mean, yeah, the 1-2 punch of Stephen Domingo, who plays for the Lakeland and Magic and the G League, Benjamin Logo, who plays out in Russia, they started off quite well, averaged 17 points each. And as you said, you know, in this competition, in African basketball, when you have shooters, anything possible can happen. And I think, you know, it's a fairly new team. As the games, as they continue throughout the tournament, they'll get better in terms of their chemistry. Even the coach, Mike Brown, you know, he's getting used to these players. And I think he'll be able to put in place the right, you know, the right plays, put them in the right positions. And, you know, we'll see how they can go from there. I mean, the article I wrote for Full Court Press, it shows that, you know, Nigeria can go from anything from just a quarterfinalist to the finalist. And their depth is really key. They have, I think, in the African continent, I mean, Nigeria sent probably their team C or D, but then they can still, you know, punch above their weight despite the circumstances regarding their preparation and, you know, just the absence of their key players heading into this.
No doubt, and there's been some standout players so far, and I know that you really wanted to chat about it. So who should we be keeping an eye on when we're watching the rest of this tournament unfold?
Man, I'm talking about this guy, Michael Rowe, for Tunisia. He was a standout at UCLA. He's a bit of a EuroLeague legend as well. And this guy can take it to the hole. He can shoot from outside. He can pass the rock. He does it all. He's really the heart and soul of Tunisia. I mean, that backcourt, Omar Abada, is second to none on the continent. So we really need to watch out for him. this other guy, Suleiman Diabata for Cote d'Ivoire, he was the point guard for Zamalek when they won the BAL, and he's been dishing out the rock for Cote d'Ivoire quite well. And their team, as I said, they're an outsider. They always find themselves in the tournament in the middle of the pack. They sometimes get to the semifinals, sometimes they crash along the way, but I think they have something to prove. And then Walter Tavares from Cape Verde, my goodness, I think we saw the first game against Angola breaking the board.
That was unnecessary, actually. But let's carry on while we're at it.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 14.5 points and 14 rebounds per game. And it's going to be really nice to see how he fares in the last game against Rwanda. And Kenny Gassana, your guy, you talked about him.
We spoke about him off air, and I told you to look out for what he's doing.
And, man, he showed up. I mean, he's the heart and soul. He's been on the Rwandan team for quite some time. And, you know, as you can see, I call this the BAL effect. These guys came into the competition. Rwanda has had a really good project, and you know, the BAL, forming the Patriots was really part of it, and you can really see them come into the competition with a lot of confidence. You know, they played against great higher levels of competition than many of the counterparts, and it's really translating onto the court. And I know that Kenya is looking as an out, as just, you know, for participation, for experience, but this guy Tyler Ongwe, he can score, and I want to see how much he can put up in the subsequent games, because the 25-point outing he had, I think, was really impressive for, you know, someone playing at this level competition for the first time. So, you know, just a couple of the guys. I mean, there's so many others who will come along the way. Cameroon is going to play in a bit, and I'm going to be paying attention to that, obviously. There are a few guys out there, like Ben Bala. He was a second-leading scorer at AfroBasket 2017. He's gotten a lot of experience playing out in the French First Division since then, and I think that he's going to really come to the party after the unfortunate forfeiture that Cameroon had to endure for their first game against South Sudan.
Well, before we do finish our call and we get ready for this weekend's action, let's talk about who you think the favorites are at the stage. I know you wrote on the website, but that was before we got to really see these teams compete, and who you think, because I have my own set of favorites, so we spoke about it, but I want you to let our listeners know who you think we should, or the top three teams are at this point.
Well, who I'm not is Angola. I got that wrong.
I think many people thought that they might still be able to relive some of that past glory, but not this tournament.
I mean, their team experience. We thought they could put something off in the bag, but anyway, let's concentrate.
We can't concentrate on kicking a dog while it's down. You know what I'm saying? They're struggling, and it's actually not fun to watch, because they actually represent our zone, and now it's going to be someone else got to take up the mantle for the zone.
And the people who I think are going to pick up that bill, number one, Senegal. I mean, even though they're levels ahead of Uganda. Uganda is a team to be respected, especially with Ismael Wainwright coming through. But, man, the Senegalese guys, like I said, from top to bottom, Gorky Dieng, Maurice Ndiaye, the new boy, Branko Bandio, from start to finish, they just brought on that energy. And, you know, they have a really excellent coaching staff. Boniface Ndong, the 2005 AfroBasket MVP. Desanganya Diop, the former 12-year NBA veteran. You know, the coaching staff is proper. The guys are proper. And, you know, Senegal has always come short. And I think this time around, they're really, really focused. They had a great preparation. And, yeah, I think that we should really look at them. Tunisia as well. Nigeria always have something up their sleeve with the depth, and then, you know, just the experience of the players. They've all been, you know, the main men on their teams. They've had a lot of good experience, and, you know, someone like Mike Brown, I mean, the value he adds. You have somebody who's coached LeBron James, the late, great Kobe Bryant, as well as Stephen Curry on your bench. The basketball knowledge that he brings to the table is really unmeasurable. So I think those three teams are really the ones to look out for, and then there's a host of other teams. Egypt, Cote d'Ivoire, potentially Cameroon, to get out of the group. You know, they can all create surprises here and there. Rwanda as well. But as I said, those are the three standout teams, which in my opinion, can go all the way, with Senegal and Tunisia really leading that pack.
I agree with you, and even the order that you mentioned it in. So perfect. I think that sets up whatever is supposed to happen a little bit later, and the games will be starting soon. Do keep your eye peeled because African basketball is looking fantastic. It is getting better and better, and I think we can see the impact of the BAL on this tournament already. We'll continue to see how these games unfold and the development as it happens. So, Leonard, the Bull, because I'm just doing that because I have to find something catchy for you, fam. So we'll figure out how this works.
Yeah, thanks a lot. We'll figure it out. And, concluding to what, you know, complimenting to what you said, I mean, the gap in African basketball is significantly reducing, and it's really, really great for competition because you even saw a team like Guinea, who just a couple years ago was making their first appearance. They had a one-point loss against, you know, tournament veterans, Central African Republic, and you realize that with time, you know, the more experience that these teams are getting, the better they're coming. They'll come in and subsequent ones. Rwanda, they were also, you know, on the rolling map over past tournaments, but then now, you know, they're establishing themselves as, you know, not necessarily contenders, but then, you know, you have to watch out for them. So I'm hoping that, you know, as the tournament evolves, we'll see new gems, and then we'll be able to continue to just really revel in the African renaissance that basketball is experiencing at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're doing a great job so far being on the show. You know that we have plenty more to unpack as the weeks unfold, and looking forward to when we actually do get that chance. So thank you for coming on the show today. We will chat again soon.
Thank you for the alley-oop to you, and happy birthday once more.
Thank you, my brother. You can catch some of Leonard's articles on our site, fullcourtpress.co.za.
Radio with a vision. Vision View Sports Radio.